We represent Citrus SA, so Citrus South Australia, as the industry body for the state. We've got all sorts of citrus there to taste, and we've got fresh juice that we juice on site in front of you. And we sell fruit in cups for like the most healthiest and the cheapest item you could buy at the show. So come over to the northeast corner of the Gorda Pavilion and check it out. And all the prize-winning fruits there and displays, it's really worth looking at.
Sounds great. All right, well, tell us about the Citrus Association then.
Citrus SA, we represent the growers in South Australia. South Australia produces nearly 200,000 tonnes of citrus every year, and we employ lots of people, and we've got lots of growers in the state, nearly 300 growers. And yeah, we represent issues, you know, anything from pest issues to markets to all sorts of things.
So the fruit that you grow, how much of it is consumed locally and how much of it is moved on?
Most of our fruit's export, because if we couldn't sell all our fruit in Australia because we just produce way too much, and that's only South Australia. So probably 80% of our fruit is exported.
Where does it go?
Everywhere.
All right, so everywhere has South Australian citrus. That sounds brilliant.
Well, Asia is our biggest customer, and our actual single biggest customer is Japan, and then China, and then probably Indonesia, and then the rest of the Asian nations, and we send some to UAE, like in the Middle East, and we send some to America. That's the main markets.
So in what form do we send it? How do we send it out there?
All fresh fruit.
Fresh fruit, so we just pack up the fresh fruit?
Pack up fresh fruit, yep. Lots of tons of cartons.
Right. Because, I mean, South Australia's a brilliant place to grow citrus, isn't it?
It's an excellent climate for citrus, and the main reason is in autumn, when it's ripening, we have a temperature variation, so we have 30-degree days and 10-degree nights, and that's what gives the colour and the flavour.
Is that so?
That's so.
That's quite amazing, really, isn't it?
So if you have an orange in, say, north of Brisbane in Australia, you won't have the colour or the flavour because it doesn't have that temperature variation.
I have noticed that when people not from South Australia come over here and taste our fruit, they're pretty amazed at how fantastic it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's have a look at what's needed to keep citrus running really well. How are we going with fruit fly? I know that South Australia, you know, is very vigilant about fruit fly. What's the where are we going there?
Fruit fly is probably our number one potential pest. We don't have it. South Australia has fruit fly freedom status, and that's a big plus to our markets because a lot of the countries we send fruit to recognise that and appreciate that and are happy to pay more for our fruit because of that. We have a trapping grid. This is like PERS, the state government trapping grid in the Riverland and in the city to monitor what sort of little flies are out there. And we have minimal flies found in traps, but we do find them. And that helps with our pest-free area status. So we do that. And if there's an outbreak, there's quite a procedure to, you know, Adelaide people would know probably better than we do what happens to the surrounding suburbs, and they come and take fruit and spray trees, etc.
So how cooperative then do you find the public about keeping South Australia fruit fly free?
it's quite hard, that
it
one, isn't
it?
No, the public's pretty good. From what I know, the public are good with their response, and I think mostly they recognise the benefit of fruit fly freedom, because it's not only for our export stuff, it's also for fruit in your home garden. A piece of fruit full of maggots is not pretty, and not you can't eat it, so that's what we're talking about.
Yes, so basically if we want to keep our backyard fruit production happening, we really need to do that cooperation with the Department of Primary Industries, who does all of this work.
Exactly. You talk to growers in New South Wales or Victoria who have this problem, and you talk to backyard, like home gardeners interstate, and you ask them what it's like, I'll tell you. So it's invaluable. You know, if the public don't realise how valuable it is, well, you should be talking to people that have it endemically.
Right. All right. Now, when I was talking to you earlier, we were having a bit of, we broached the subject of insecticides. What sort of insecticides do you and don't you use in order to, you know, as we were just talking before about bees, to keep pollinators happy and to not overload with chemicals?
It's a fickle subject because the consumer demands perfect looking fruit. So how do you do that if it's got insects on it, or insect chews, or damage, or insects actually on the fruit? So markets demand that, but in our case, it depends what market we send fruit to. Some markets are happy with a bit of damage, if that's the word, and some markets demand pristine, clean fruit. But these days, chemicals are not what they used to be. Like, say, 30 years ago, if you sprayed a chemical, you'd kill everything, including the magpies. These days, it's a selective, systemic product. You put it through the water, like the tree will absorb it through the irrigation water, and it will only take out insects that actually chew on the tree. So all your beneficials don't get affected, and bees wouldn't get affected by that. But that residue might be in the honey. So we, I mean, the bee load is very interesting. And we have, when bees finish with almonds, then they bring all the hives to citrus, because citrus is a honey giver. So they can quickly top their hive up and produce tons and tons of honey from, like, you can smell the honey metres away when the hives are full after 2 weeks. So in our case, we just don't use anything until flowering's over, which we don't anyway, because if we have to spray or put chemical through the water, it's only after all the flowering's finished. So it works actually quite well with bees.
Right. So do you know where they go after they finish with the citrus then? It sort of sounds like, you know, it's sort of like a progressive... I should ask the bee lady, shouldn't I, Susan? Yes.
No, I don't know, but they move around the different crops, and they might go to lucerne, they might go to canola. It just depends what's around, and the bee guys know where they're going next.
All right, so let's talk about caring for the land so that, you know, we can grow crops year after year after year without depleting the resources.
Yeah, well, once again, 30 years ago, a lot of growers had bare ground between their trees or up their rows because they didn't like to see a weed anywhere. But these days, it's a bit different. When we prune trees, we mulch all that in the mid rows. We don't irrigate in the mid rows anymore in an attempt to try to use less water, but we keep covering the mid rows, so that mulch from prunings or the weeds we just leave in the mid rows these days. And I think it produces a healthier tree and a better piece of fruit.
Right. Have you tried running stock between trees? Does that work?
It would work, but it'd be a lot of work. Right. Because they're pretty fond of eating oranges and orange trees as well, so...
I guess I was thinking of shorter ones, maybe like, say, geese.
Rabbits.
I don't think that would work.
No, we've... Actually, with the drought in pockets of South Australia, we actually considered giving 6 acres of our orchard to a farmer to, you know, just let him have for his stock, but that didn't eventuate. But something like that could work if you had picked the crop, folks, but, you know, they'd damage the trees and the sprinklers probably more than they'd benefit.
Right, so not something that's properly integrated yet.
Probably not something that's going to take off anytime soon.
Fair enough. Now, are there any other comments that you'd like to make? Because we need to wrap this up fairly quickly.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me. We just got these bio cups now at our stand. Not made from oil-based plastic, but from vegetable oil-based plastic, and they're biodegradable, even though they're clear plastic. It's a new thing that we're trying this year. And also some different fruit packaging. So, yeah.
Right. So, let's get down to the Citrus Australia.
Citrus Australia stand, corner of the Gorda Pavilion, like the northeast corner against Goodwood Road.